Rosanna Hughes covers crime, the courts, and breaking news in our area for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. And lately, there has been a lot to cover on that beat, from investigations of law enforcement misconduct, to the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd while in police custody in Minneapolis, to the protests here in Chattanooga, and more. Last week, we had a conversation beyond the headlines.
Rosanna, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about your beat at the Times Free Press.
I cover general crime. I cover policing and also the court system here, mostly on the criminal side, although I do cover a few of the civil cases, especially civil rights cases against police departments and cities.
And how long have you been on this beat?
Specifically covering crime, probably about 2 years now. I've been with the Times Free Press for 3.5 years now, I think.
What drew you to the crime beat?
Oh, I grew up watching stuff like 48 Hours and Dateline and stuff. So it's kind of my dream job. There was just an opening and I kind of fell right into the beat. I was already covering some of the on-the-ground work of like when a shooting happened. So it kind of came naturally, I guess. Sometimes I do feel like I am on call a lot whenever there's a shooting or a major accident or crash, whether intentional or unintentional. I am often the one who goes out there to the scenes and interviews the people out there, talks to the police, just get what we can. A lot of times we don't have a lot of information up front because that has to play out through the court system, but just capturing the human moments is really important.
What's something that most people here might not realize about law enforcement, about the criminal justice system? Because there's the 48 hours version of the story, and then there's what you see out there on the beat.
There's a lot of nuance to every story. And it's a lot of times, even, you know, in TV shows or TV news or even in print, you know, we have a little bit more flexibility because we don't have to fit everything into, you know, a certain amount of time. But regardless, you know, these cases, there's so much on either side, and you don't always see that in a condensed version in a newspaper or on the TV news. But I guess it's a combination of that and maybe not always understanding the steps and procedures to how the justice system works. You have to meet certain thresholds, I guess, in order to get a conviction or to be able to charge something, I mean, someone with a certain crime.
I noticed on your Twitter feed, you highlighted a posting from Tennessee Open Government of a ProPublica story, 5 ways to start holding your department accountable when it comes to public records. Why is that so important?
Making a habit out of requesting these records can be hugely important because a lot of times that's where stories are. For example, I do my best to make a habit out of requesting closed internal affairs investigations and what their disposition was. So by just keeping tabs on that, you can kind of, maybe there's an officer who regularly gets complaints, or maybe there is a certain complaint that is kind of spiking. You can dig down into what the reason behind that is. Maybe the officer just has a string of bad luck, or maybe he is a problem. Or maybe there's a larger problem, a training problem. By requesting those records, that's how you can get to the bottom of what actually is going on big picture in these different law enforcement agencies. That's just one part of it, though, but also understanding how policing works and how laws governing their conduct work is also huge. And an example that I gave on my Twitter was, I did a story on the Saudi Daisy Police Department, and something that didn't make it into the story because I ultimately ended up getting a clarification and didn't have to fact check this voice in the story. But for example, the story was about some Saudi Daisy police officers shot and killed an elderly man. And there's a lot of nuance to it, so I'm not going to get into that, but that's the gist of it. Usually in larger departments, when something like that happens, the officers are put on administrative leave and an internal investigation is started that works parallel to the criminal investigation, although the internal investigation sometimes has to be basically put on hold while the criminal investigation takes precedent. So I asked first whether these officers were put on administrative leave and if an internal investigation had taken place. And the city attorney told me that, yes, an internal investigation had taken place and that the sheriff's office had conducted that internal investigation. But because I have this background of covering law enforcement and I have covered previous cases of police shootings and I have an idea of how the process works, I knew that that didn't sound very accurate. So I went to the sheriff's office and I asked them, was the sheriff's office tasked with conducting an internal affairs investigation for Saudi Daisy Police Department? And that was not the case. Essentially, for the sheriff's office to conduct an internal affairs investigation, they have to be requested specifically by the chief of police or by the city manager, and that didn't happen. So if I didn't have that background of how these processes work, I would have just quoted the city attorney as saying that, yes, an internal affairs investigation did take place, which wasn't completely accurate. In the end, the sheriff's office did conduct the investigation, which was just a fact-finding mission for the district attorney. The purpose of that investigation was to determine whether there was probable cause that a crime had occurred, not whether the department's internal policies had been violated. It was accurate in that the investigation was conducted by the sheriff's office, but it was not accurate in that an internal investigation took place. So understanding that is why I was able to accurately say that based on the sheriff's office investigation, it was determined that the shooting was justified, and therefore an internal investigation wasn't deemed necessary. So just a little tiny nuance in there, but accuracy matters when you're talking about law enforcement.
When it comes to making changes in law enforcement, whether it's what the activists are demanding and the language they're using, or it's criminal justice experts who have studied departments across the country for years, whatever changes come long-term after an event such as the death of George Floyd, these changes tend to take a long time and they tend to be very intricate because there are a lot of moving parts behind the scenes that most of us are not aware of.
Whatever approach people have, it's going to take some time. It's going to have to go through city or county governments. They're going to have to approve these things, and then it'll trickle down to individual agencies. So it's not something that's going to happen overnight. I know that a lot of us wish that it could, but these agencies and departments and laws and procedures and policies have been in place for decades. And it's not just going to be a revamp policy by the book revolution. It's going to take a lot of cultural and societal change, and that in and of itself will take a very long time. Hopefully sooner than later, but I think the country right now is in an interesting place, and I think that ultimately we as a country are making some progress.
All right. We'll be following. Rosanna, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.